All right, so now we're in the second section. We have discussed the decanates as they might apply to the long-lasting physical and emotional stages of the man. I suppose it's possible to be born many, many times over the millions of years it takes to work through those first two petals, to be born in the sign Cancer and in the different decanates. Incarnations would be rather rapid. But there is some degree of emotional sensitivity growing. I think I may have... Yes, okay. Well, increasing emphasis upon the emotional nature over here. I'm going to say that. And prisoner of the emotional body, but greater light comes in into the emotional body from Venus, and there is refinement of the emotions. All right. Now, we'll go on to the mental personal phase. So we are dealing now with the mental lower personal phase. It's concerning the third petal of the egoic lotus. It is still within the hall of ignorance, and it is the mental preparation which will begin to allow for the first reversal of the wheel, which has to take place when there is unfoldment occurring within the love petals, the second tier. We're still under the moon. It's still the hall of ignorance. It's still the orthodox ruler. The unit is awakening and sees and begins to understand that which is around. The, how does it say here, the unit awakens to that which is around. Now, that's considered to be related to advanced man, but to a degree there is a mental awakening here. There's more efficiency, not so vulnerable, more rational, not so much the victim, because it's possible to think about one's life. The integration of the personality in a selfish sense is beginning. When the mind is emphasized, the first type of personality integration can occur. Now, if we consider the moon is dominating, yes, but there is here the need to see how this would work in the different decanates. The mind is the instinctual instrument we see over here under the 30 to 20 rulership, because we're still on the clockwise wheel. The mind as an instinctual instrument is bound to the senses. The thinker is sense-bound. Some increase of light in the mind will occur in this phase. And let's just say, beginning to end, Camomanus. But since Cancer is such an emotional sign, Camomanus is not easily ended, because both the Moon and Neptune are ruling, and the emotional body is indicated. In the second phase, there's a conflict. It's under Mercury, the 20 to 10 phase of the clockwise wheel. The conflict has been between a growing mentality and emotional response. So there is a mental engagement with Camomanus. And the attempt to be more manasic than chemic. Mercury is the ruler there, and the struggle continues between Mars as the ruler of both the emotional nature and the mental nature. We remember that under Scorpio, Mercury is very powerful, not only because it's the hierarchical ruler, but simply because it's engaged in the process of achieving detachment from the emotions, and also of creating the more illumined mind. This is a discussion in the Scorpio chapter on the two powers of Mercury, not yet even the hierarchical power, but the two preliminary powers of Mercury in Scorpio, and hence in the sub-Scorpio decanate, Mercury would be strong. Now we move into the Cancer decanate per se, and Venus is involved. The mind begins to clarify and expand and admit light under Venus. And I think we don't need to discuss Vulcan there. Let's just say that the intellect becomes sharper. And lucidity and the fifth ray have their effect in creating a more independent mental field. So we are preparing to reverse the wheel. Lucidity. We are preparing to move in the clockwise direction. Counterclockwise direction, excuse me. Preparing to move in the counterclockwise direction. And we enter a different phase. We're into this aspirational, higher personal phase of the personality integrating under the direction of the soul and aspiring towards the higher of the pairs of opposites. Now, interestingly enough, Cancer is to be considered one of the rulers of the fourth petal. Gemini of the third, Cancer of the fourth, when the higher of the pairs of opposites can slowly come into recognition. From the time we're dealing with this reversing wheel, from the time we're moving in the counterclockwise direction, which is the way we normally consider the signs to be moving, or the progression of the signs, we can take into consideration this higher of the pairs of opposites. We are now advanced man. We are the aspirant, integrating first in a higher way. Perhaps there's a stage of selfish integration here, but gradually it becomes the kind of integration that leads to aspiration, and the higher aspect of the personality begins to develop. So let's consider that Neptune is coming in as the esoteric ruler, and the unit awakens to that which is around and above. And I want to say and within. Because Cancer is one of the sensitive signs, and it reveals sensitive vibrations, the presence of different types of energies which only sensitivity can access. Neptune is the great revealer of those types of more subtle vibrations. So above, within, and the personality aspires. Now, we are not moving from 30 to 20, 20 to 10, and 10 to 0. We're moving from 0 to 10, 10 to 20, 20 to 30. So we're in the Venus decanate, according to Safario. We would be in the lunar decanate, according to Alan Leo. But it would have to be a higher type of moon, really. But we'll, for the moment, focus mostly on the Safarial decanates, which DK emphasized as the more important, or the more accurate. The personality reaches for higher things under the longing and aspiration of Neptune, and the higher things, let's just say Venus, the soul, is its objective. The transition from the solar plexus to the heart begins. There's been a lot of solar plexus activity in Cancer. It is much associated with the solar plexus, which is one reason why Mars can be associated with it. I think Mars ruling the solar plexus, and certainly Neptune does, for the disciple. The transition from solar plexus to heart begins, but it's still largely the aspirational personality and still largely the solar plexus emphasis. Later in the stage, we will have the relation. There is the relation to the higher solar plexus point about which the Tibetan speaks in Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 2, giving us a piece of new information. That is in Meditations 1 and 2. And some realization of heart energy. So Neptune is taking over from the moon, and there's the sensitizing of the lower vehicles. So this is the Venus decanate, and the Venus, the soul, is its objective. The higher of the pairs of opposites, represented by Venus, is coming into focus. But not in the same way that it would for a disciple. Still, the stage of aspiration. And personality centeredness is still strong. Now we move into the Mercury decanate here, which is 10 to 20. The personality is awakening mentally to the subtleties of that which is around. This is with the advanced man. There's a less concrete attitude and more ability for interplay between the higher and lower selves. And mental conflict between them. Or just maybe we should say, and general conflict between them, with the objective of having the higher self win in this conflict. Now we move into the lunar decanate, which at this point should be considered as Vulcanian and not so much under the confines of the moon. While doing this particular program, I've kind of made a decision definitely to follow the Venus, Mercury, Moon order, and to place the Moon as the entry decanate for the average man. So it will give confinement, as we see up here, subject to the physical elemental confinement within the lunar vehicle. This is the blindness, the bondage of the Pisces decanate. Okay, let's look at it this way. Blindness and bondage of the Pisces decan. And some of what I had before there may have indicated some presence of Venus influence, but I've decided not to use that. I think it's much more convincing to think of the Vulcanian effect eventually. And that's where we're at now. We are in that disciplic, we are in the higher aspirational phase, a phase, let's see, sometimes hard to manipulate these, right, okay. We are in the phase where Neptune is taking over from the moon, and the moon veiling Vulcan is seen. or Vulcan, veiled by the moon, is sensed. And remember what DK said earlier in his own text about the breaking of bonds. The moon has forged those bonds, or the lower activity of Vulcan when acting as a very material planet has forged those bonds, and now Vulcan is going to be the one that breaks them. So the personality aspires towards the higher light, towards the feeling of the soul. That's Neptunian. Let's put that in. Personality seeks expansion into the light and into more refined energies. This would be the Jupiter phase of the Alan Leo decanates, with Jupiter as the ruler of Pisces, and some freedom from the emotional body is instigated by the Vulcanian energy, which gives will, detachment, strength. So the moon veiling Vulcan is beginning to come in. It will be still more powerful in the disciplic and initiatic phases, but we're beginning to find the ability to free ourselves using the will. To free ourselves using the will from the tendencies to confinement. To free ourselves using the will from the tendencies towards lunar confinement. Okay. We aspire, we're integrating under the soul. The influence of the soul is part of our integration process. We're integrating with the soul. And so it is somewhat of a fifth petal process. The fifth petal may still be involved in the next one as well. It's the disciplic soul process. And how have I discussed that above? Let's see. Yes, the stage of the probationary initiate here. The one who is taking not the third initiation, but initiations before the third initiation. Neptune is now the esoteric ruler, and the disciple is much more sensitive. Under Neptune as the esoteric ruler, there is the longing. I always use that word longing, reaching out over a great distance when thinking of Neptune. There is the longing for the soul state. Increasing compassion for humanity. We remember that for the disciple and initiate, the word humanity is found on page 332. Here it is, humanity. We don't quite yet see the whole as one, but we're starting at least to see humanity as one. There is the growing awakening of the intuition, because Neptune is that kind of planet which reveals the normally unseen. The beginning of the sensing of the wholeness, and we can call it particularly of humanity. Okay, I may have erased something there by mistake, so I'm going to just check. Yes, I may have. No, I didn't. So, particularly the oneness of humanity. There's the sensing of buddhi, the harmonious wholeness. The whole is sensed as one, but is not yet seen or experienced as one. There is still my soul and thy soul, but at the end of this stage, there will be no my soul or thy soul. There will only be the soul. So here we are again. The 0 to 10 is ruled by Venus, according to Tibetan. 10 to 20 by Mercury, with a subnode of Mars, if we give credence to the old Hindu system, and then a 20 to 30 subnode of Jupiter. In the Venus decanate here, the lunar vehicles, all of them, are open to the reception of higher energies. Let's call them soul energies. Illumination. Many of the lower struggles are over or are being completed, and the illumined mind is increasingly a possibility with some touch of Neptunian intuition. Okay. So that's the Venus decanate. It also, you know, is connected with the moon, but the moon would have to be veiling something, wouldn't it, in the Hindu system. Might be veiling the will. That could be coming in. But this is still associated with Argo, the ship into which the disciple puts all of his faculties and takes them on an integrative journey to the higher realms, takes them on a great quest. Venus illumines the lower vehicle. Neptune is well established. The two of them together have a close relationship, Neptune being the higher octave of Venus. So the general ruler of this phase, regardless of the decanate, is Neptune. For the disciple, the esoteric ruler is operative. And Venus is the decanate ruler. Now we're moving into the Mercury decanate, which is the little bear, which is the ashramic decanate. So let's say the disciple is liable to, disciple may become aware of his sub-ashram, just as was the case with Master DK's students. The disciple is in soul communion through meditation, Mercury being very important, and his mentality, which is a Mercurian factor and also a Venusian factor, is nourished by the intuition. And the conflict between soul and personality still persists, as it does for disciples, but the mentality can more easily be called into the battle. And there is a focus of illumined mind, focus in the illumined mind above feeling. Yet there are transcendent feelings. Feelings due to Neptune. All right. So that's the Mercury phase. See, the conflict is always rising, isn't it? That's really what's happening. The conflict changes the combatants, changes the focus of those which are contending. So Mercury and Mars, Mercury rises, and Mars, which would be the Hindu ruler of this decanate, subsides, except as aspiration. Now we're moving into the Pisces phase for the disciple. The sense of the one humanity is growing, and so is the inclusiveness, let's just say, of Jupiter and Neptune. In towards universality, not completely, we'll save that for the initiate. The moon, veiling Vulcan, is the ruler, and the will of the soul and of the greater ashram is making its presence felt. So the person, the individual, is in touch with the will of hierarchy. That's under the moon veiling Vulcan. we have not yet achieved the complete wholeness of the whole is seen as one. But we will do that as the initiate in Cancer. Now, of course, what's really important is that we find people that are at these stages and are responding to these types of energies. That is very important. Otherwise, we cannot make an accurate study of the effect of these various phases. You see, astrology is complex. In general, you have to know the phase through which a person is passing, the general evolutionary phase. Now we're in the Neptunian phase, veiled by the moon, and the expanded sensitivity is great. It's not just insularity, encapsulation, isolation, blindness, instinctuality, and separativeness. That's an early Cancer phase, very definitely insular. We're reaching out to that which is around in many respects, around psychically. We're reaching out to a wider environment under Neptune. We're reaching towards consciousness of oneness. At least we're having the sense of the unity of humanity, maybe not quite yet the unity of the whole or the unity of the planet. Then we move into the initiatic or monadic stage. This is the true initiate. It's still under Neptune, but this time as the hierarchical ruler, so it's a still more sensitive Neptune. The whole is seen as one, and this is Buddhic. And it is becoming monadic because the heart and the head center, if you will, is the major head center, according to the Tibetan, and it has a very strong connection with Pisces, with Neptune, suggesting almost that the summation, the final synthesizing planet in our solar system, might well be Neptune. Uranus, perhaps, in the next, which will be a more first-ray system in which the personality ray of the solar logos will be the first ray, I hypothesize. A system of will. Right now, the personality ray is the second ray, and that's a big hint that it may be moving to the first ray of the next solar system. So here we are under Neptune with this oceanic sense of wholeness. Humanity is known as one. The planet is reckoned as one. The solar system is seen as one. Everything, the embrace of the whole is found as a Cancerian factor. Engulfed by the one life, in triadal and monadic consciousness, one unified vehicle, and the bodies realize that they are essentially spirit-soul. But I should say more. I wrote these little epitomes concerning the rulers of the decanates over a different period of time and learned as I went and am still learning. So there is a causal consciousness and that which tends to go beyond it. Venus is the soul, causal body, and the consciousness is focused there, and via the Antikarana can enter a triadal perception and monadic registration. So it's Neptune over Venus. We have the luminous soul and the Buddhic consciousness merged. Now we enter the phase we would call Mercurian. Mars has slipped away. We're not dealing with Mars anymore. Strongly Buddhic emphasis because Mercury is one of the co-rulers of the Buddhic plane. We have the compassion of Neptune and the transcendental mind of Mercury, especially when combined with Neptune, we have pure reason. In the light of the little bear with Polaris at the present time as the pole star, but the little bear has Polaris with Polaris as its tail. So there is a sense of direction and orientation here, a sense of being able to really see. Because Mercury restores sight to the blind. So there's the blending of Buddhi and of Manas, strong intuition and insight, conquering illusion, because this is the Scorpio decan. Now, obviously, real study of the inner psychology of people with these indications is needed, and the way that these things have worked out in their life. This is just the beginning. Finally, in the last phase, which is 20 to 30 degrees, we're in the initiatic monadic phase, the fusion of Atma and Buddhi within the monadic presence. The whole is seen as one. There is control of the personality and soul by the spiritual will. And the sense increasingly, I am the monad and thus the whole. Neptune is triumphant, but there's more to it. This is a Vulcan decanate. So if this is a Vulcan decanate, what does that mean? We're into the area of the seven head centers. Let's call it this way. Vulcan rules the seven head centers and is veiled by the moon. This is the Great Bear Decan, ruled by Vulcan. So the will is in control. And the spiritual will is correlated here to Vulcan. So finally, the will is the controller, the dominating force. The seven head centers are at work. The individual is the true initiate. And the will of the higher ashram, controls. Shambhala coming into focus. All right, well, these are some ideas that can be used as seed ideas in a closer study of these decanates. DK simply began by talking about the story as one of mind, conflict, and form life. And really, if you look at those three, form life comes first, conflict arises, and the mind is growing in power. It's really Venus, Mercury, Moon, but the Moon comes first. And then we're led from Venus to Mercury and then back to the Moon. Only the moon is Vulcan, so that is the organ of illumination is the mind, so that's mental control under Venus in the counterclockwise first decanate. The building up of strength, as is so often the case under the Scorpio influence in the second decanate, and then the breaking of bonds That's so Vulcanian. It's not Venusian at all. The breaking of bonds which the processes of incarnation have forged. And the moon represents that way that Vulcan works when it is simply serving the lower elemental life. I think that's pretty accurate, certainly sufficiently useful. Now we can go on. In the words given for this sign, the word of the soul, I think that's a good way of describing it, the spiritual mantra, indicates the objective of the Cancer experience and the purpose for which incarnation has been taken. I build a lighted house and therein dwell. There are a number of lighted houses. The personality itself is a house, a contained field of experience, a contained space, and it must be lighted in its own right, increasingly so. Then the causal body itself is an increasingly lighted house, and we are building that through many, many incarnations. And as the causal body and the personality begin to interact, or the soul through the causal body, consciousness through the causal body and the soul, and the personality, both the lightedness of the causal body begins to show itself within the personality, in the soul-infused personality. There is, strictly speaking, personality light, which grows, but there is also the light of the soul-infused personality, and that's what we want to create. Finally, we are building our true home, though temporary, on the higher mental plane. It is a lighted house, and there our consciousness can dwell in the presence of spiritual light, spiritual love, spiritual sacrificial will. The consciousness can live in that state. And it is truly a house that we have built due to our labors in these lower worlds. Are we also building the monadic vehicle in any sense? We seem to be building the triadal vehicles. Those vehicles exist in embryo, but when the emphasis via the Antikarana begins to be there, they begin to flourish and take on that which is bestowed upon them by the mind of God, the love of God, and the will of God. I'm not sure how much there is of a strictly personal nature in those vehicles, but there is something of an individual nature within the monad, because the monad has its own distinctive history, not much discussed by DK, which has over many millions of years and much longer period than that been pursued. So we all have a distinctive monadic history. We may have been, many of us, traveling together in different heights and spaces, even before the Earth, but we are distinctive monads from different planetary centers. And while our home may be within the sun, within the solar logos, we cannot tell whether our ultimate home should be considered there. There are other monadic repositories from which we may have emanated. The whole question of the descent of the monad is history, its experience before swinging into this Earth evolution, is extremely veiled, but you can infer that we all have a distinctive monadic history, and that somehow that distinctive monadic history and the structure of our monad, or the structure found within our monadic vehicle, somehow impresses itself and gives us stamp of a particular word or vibration or name upon the triadal vehicles and upon the causal vehicle and even upon the personality vehicles in an attenuated form. So there are many lighted houses to build, but the ones that we are most concerned about is the lighted personality, the lighted soul-infused personality, and finally the lighted egoic lotus, which shines forth as a great center of brilliance and quality, waiting to be destroyed with all of its quality transferred into the triadal vehicles, thereby adding to their particular distinctness. Because if each of us has had different experiences here below, the causal body is destroyed and the qualities we have built are transferred into the triadal vehicles, into the triadal permanent atoms and thus into the vehicles, well, then we will have some triadal distinctness as well, will we not? The temporary method of the personality is also clearly given when we are told that the word proclaimed by the soul as it takes incarnation. Now, this is so good because it's kind of hard to know what to call that second mantram, or maybe sometimes it's listed as the first mantram. But there's a word proclaimed by the soul as it takes incarnation. I think I'd really like to remember that. Maybe you should too. You know, go forth into matter and let other forms exist, I rule because I am, and all of that, is the word proclaimed by the soul as it takes incarnation, not the word claimed by the soul as it is returning. And this word is, let isolation be the rule. And yet the crowd exists, and yes, mass consciousness exists. And yet all of these apparently isolated units are functioning according to the same instinctual impulses coming from the physical vehicle and from the etheric vehicle as it carries physical energy. So many are lumped together, but they do not see their oneness. And within that crowd, they are isolated. And gradually, isolation is overcome as the unit awakens to that which is around through the increasing sensitivity of Neptune. Okay, well, there's much to be discussed here. I kind of hesitate to begin the Gemini chapter with only, you know, less than 15 minutes to go. It might be better to do a little bit of review from the beginning of this chapter. You kind of think of where humanity is at the present time, and we realize how many of us are still in the Cancerian phase, where true individuality has not yet really been developed. There is an emergence of individually oriented people who have this strong sense of Leonian selfhood, the emergence of many human personalities. But this is still, though growing, relatively rare. We are emerging out of this sense of isolation and of the mass and of the tribes. As a matter of fact, there are conflicts going on right now on our planet between people who still have a very tribal consciousness and consider their religion in tribal terms, and those who have emerged into a state of self-determination and are not being compelled by totalitarian methods which force all to do the same thing. The crowd very much exists in humanity today, but with modern educational methods, it is rapidly dissipating. There is a rebellion of the mass consciousness against the individualism, emphasis upon individuality, which the forefront of human civilization is advancing. Well, let's say I'm not speaking here of the true disciples and initiates. I'm saying the the millions of modern human beings. They are advancing a system in which the individual has value, not just the state, not just the totalitarian religion, and so forth. The Tibetan goes on to say here, this sign can carry deep meaning to all. You are in the process of incarnation, all of us are. We're not yet initiates of the fourth degree, we're not yet liberated, we're on our way toward that point, perhaps in the later phases of the process, as the whole process of initiation is occurring in the later phases of evolution. You are following your chosen way, which means that by now we can use Saturn to make decisions about which way we will follow. And we can make these decisions even before we come into incarnation each time. Is the house you are building yet lit? Are we projecting the light? Are we projecting the light of the soul? Even the light of intelligence? Is it a lighted house? Or is it a dark prison? Or, you know, somewhere. Whoops. That wasn't the right one. I'll have to. Or somewhere in between, let us say. Because many of us have areas, patches of darkness within our aura which have to be taken care of. For many people, it is a dark prison. You read about this all the time. People in a benighted stage of consciousness who do terrible things in ignorance. Is the house you are building yet lit, or is it a lighted house? Is it a lighted house, or is it a dark prison? If it is a lighted house, you will attract to its light and warmth. Now there's the implication of solar fire. All who are around you, and the magnetic pull of your soul, whose nature is light and love, will save many. So a lighted house is no small thing, is it? No small thing to have built a lighted house, no. Because it's not just personality light we're talking about, it's not just the light of the intellect, let us say. It is the light and love of the soul working through the higher centers, through the heart center for magnetism, and through the throat and Ajna center for intelligence, and so forth. So through the magnetism of our radiation, we will draw others in and subject them to a type of influence which will be for them a kind of saving force. It will save many. If you are still an isolated soul, you know, in other words, a soul in incarnation which has not yet awakened to its essential soul nature. So we still think we are separative human beings, separate and separative human being. We still think we are a personality. We still think we are the form. You will have to pass through the horrors of a more complete isolation and loneliness, treading the dark way of the soul. So, let's just say, it is as if extremity, or as if we are released in extremity when things get bad enough. We reach out to the inner spirit, which we always are. So if we find ourselves in isolation, we have to go into still greater darkness. So that this release can come. We have to be the prodigal son who awakens to his extreme isolation and lowly state, his state in which all of his abilities, inherent abilities that he had when he was in his father's house, are compromised by the environment. When he is destitute, impoverished, weakened, isolated, alone. Yet this isolation, this loneliness, and this separation in the dark night are all a part of the great illusion. In other words, we do not perceive energies as they really are. We have some kind of construct here that is reflected into our consciousness because human nature is what it is. These forms are all a part of our perceptual apparatus, and other types of perceivers would perceive differently. We are in an illusion in which the thing in itself, the true energy, is not perceived by the average man. It takes the high initiate for that to begin to happen. So isolation, loneliness, separation reminds one a bit of the fourth ray, which comes so prominently through the sign Cancer, through Mercury, the decanate ruler, through the Moon, through Mars as associated with sub-Scorpio in the second decanate. It is, however, an illusion to which the whole of humanity, into which the whole of humanity is now precipitated. This is the content of our consciousness, this illusion. In preparation, however, for unity, freedom, and release, instead of fragmentation, bondage, and captivity. These water signs tend to bind us, to emphasize attachment to levels of functioning which are preventing us from really realizing our true soul heritage. So we are in a kind of dark night, humanity is, and a kind of agony in which we feel very alone, very isolated, very separated, powerless, subject to the power of death, not knowing the eternal nature of consciousness, and in a rather wretched state. Humanity is the aspirant, and DK so often refers to what he calls the wretched aspirant. Some are lost in the illusion and know not what is reality or truth. Others walk free in the world of illusion for the purposes of saving and lifting their brothers. This is what the members of the hierarchy do, and the initiates, and which disciples are learning to do. Some are somewhat in the middle phase, not mentioned here, partially lost, partially free, partially in bondage, partially understanding the nature of the illusion. And he closes by saying, and if you cannot do this, you will have to learn so to walk. So he's basically saying, you must become a disciple or an initiate and work within the great illusion for the welfare of others. And I think that's where we do find ourselves at this time, we who are students of Master DK's work, none of us completely free, of course, not yet. Otherwise, we wouldn't need to be studying this kind of presentation, these bridging treatises which he has given to us. We are on our way to unity, freedom, and release. These are qualities of the cosmic ethers, qualities of the soul, and even more qualities which characterize the liberated man after the fourth initiation. So we've come a long way from the beginning of human bondage in the lower three worlds, under the moon, under cancer, the sense of encapsulation, the blind unit is lost, and yet the mass, the crowd exists. We've come a long way into individuality, realized individuality, and increasingly into group consciousness and the sense of oneness with the whole. We are converging on this realization that goes far beyond our initial sense of isolation, beyond the sense of the personality, as grand as it may be, but beyond that sense we are moving now. He says, if you can't walk this way, if you can't save and lift, if you can't walk free in the world of illusion, you will have to learn how to do this. So now I think we are at the point where we can say the great invocation together, having completed the cancer chapter. Well, completed in a way. We know it's not completed. Okay. So, the great invocation. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Okay, friends, we've now come to the end of Esoteric Astrology Adventure 100B, and we are on page 343. And I think I will continue in this 100 series with beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure 100C, Gemini, page 343. A little more convenient than stopping the whole process and having to convert the files and, you know, send them to you separately and so forth. But at least we managed to round out this second of the 100, well, it's not the 100th program, really, but the number 100 with the end of the Cancerian chapter. So we will move on to the discussion of Gemini. We have two more signs left. We are proceeding in clockwise order. So the Tibetan can heuristically emphasize the idea of the retrogression of the human soul around the zodiacal wheel in the clockwise manner, kind of an anomaly in nature when the soul of the world and the initiate moves in the counterclockwise or ordinary manner, from Aries to Taurus and so forth, but something that has to do with our individualization process altogether and with the isolation, the sense of individualism, which individualization promotes in the consciousness of the man. He's really swimming against the stream in a certain way. And yet from another point of view, when he begins to really liberate himself as the soul, he's swimming against the involutionary stream. In one case, the first case, he's swimming against the evolutionary stream, and in the latter case, he's swimming against the involutionary stream. So we will take up Gemini, a sign that is most important for this Trans-Himalayan teaching, most important to the Tibetan, to Alice Bailey, to Master KH, all those who are imparting the truth in this great outpouring of esoteric teaching. We'll go on in a little while.